Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now. A show for veterans by veterans.
Good evening and welcome to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Cal Walters and Tom Claxton, both veterans of the United States Marine Corps, and we're glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our nation's most neglected asset, the United States military veteran. And we have got an outstanding show coming up for you. But first, I want to thank some of the sponsors that helped make the show possible.
We certainly do. We'd like to thank the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Alabama Pipe and Supply, the Charlie Wilson Insurance Agency, the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Daphne's Hottest Place for Chow, the Waterfront Restaurant at Number 1 Yacht Club Drive, and certainly not to forget the Medicare lady, Miss Keisha Chambers. She'll be on with us tonight. And Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens.
And, of course, thank you to all of our sponsors and you, our great listeners, because we could not do this without your support. So please let them know that you heard it on the Scuttlebutt. And SBN's all about giving our veterans a voice on the issues that are important to them. So join in the discussion on Facebook for more information on the topics of the day. Coming up later on SBN, we will be joined by Mr. Phil Quigley with Sage Health, and we'll also speak, as Tom mentioned, with Ms. Keisha Chambers, the Medicare lady. They will get us up to speed on health care options and programs for our veterans here in South Alabama. And, of course, Tom's tirade on Silent Night. It's a throwback classic you don't want to miss. But first, it is an honor to be joined on SBN by veteran Keith Rudolph, the president of the River Ridge Vet Group out of Montgomery, I believe. Keith, welcome to SBN, and thank you for your service.
Well, thank you, Cal. It's my great honor to be on your program tonight, with you and Tom, and get to share about River Region Veterans Coalition, or RRVC RIVC.
RIVC. That's so cool. Okay.
Yeah, in honor, we have a mascot called Captain RIVC, which is a frog, and we featured him in our coloring book that one of our guys, Jason Hughes, put together, which has been very successful and gotten lots of acclaim, and it's going all over the place. We've got it in bookstores all across Montgomery, the archives, the base, our Matt Gunner, and the Enlisted Heritage Hall, and kids are loving it because it's not only fun for them to color in, but it's very educational about all of our military installations across the state.
Well, Cal, I tell you, I have been sent a couple of copies of that, and I thought it was awesome, but I was really upset. You know, they sent a Marine a damn color book, and they didn't send no crayons. I mean, how are we supposed to, you know, nibble and kind of chew on stuff while we were looking at the color book? And he didn't send nothing for dessert either. No gold ones, you know?
What can I say? Yeah, we didn't send all the food.
Keith, I tell you, it's a pleasure having you on board with us tonight. I'm extremely pleased to be able to talk to you. You guys have just started this new River Ridge Vet Coalition there in the Montgomery area, and you've already got, I understand, what, 50, 60 members?
Well, as a point of clarification, we don't really do members.
Okay.
We don't have dues. So basically, it's open every month to whoever has the interest and the desire to show up and come. And we average between 40 and 60 every
All
month.
All right. I had 40 and 60 right. It was just the wrong event.
Yeah. We've done pretty well. We've had just over 100, and that was at a meeting last year. But yeah, we're doing very well.
That's awesome.
And we just had our 1 year anniversary in February, so we just turned a year old, and that was a really special event. Our Marine did a cake cutting ceremony.
All right,
Nancy
all right.
Burton. Oh, it was a fantastic event. She had a 1860 sword, I believe.
My goodness.
And it was quite the event. She
was that Nancy?
Nancy Bertram. Yes.
Nancy Bertram, yeah. She's our commandant now with the Alabama Department.
That's what I understand, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a great lady. We have designated her our fundraising person of note.
Right.
And she does a fantastic job fundraising, as well as keeping us on track rules-wise. So, but yeah, we had a great honor last night. We went to greet General Daniel Tully, the new Air University commander at Maxwell. They had an event at Whitewater Park. And so the Chamber of Commerce and the Wright Flyers sponsored the event. And so we got to meet him and his wife and have a little chit-chat with him, along with a lot of other people that were there. And got to tell him a little bit about RIVIC. And hopefully myself and Admiral Davis will be able to have a sit-down meeting with him here very soon.
That's awesome. That's awesome. We are so pleased and proud to have Admiral Davis in the Mobile area as well, working here with Vets Resources, and is joining our Marine Corps League detachment as one of our associate members as well. So, but well, the River Ridge Coalition Vet Group, you guys get your idea from where?
Well, sir, we were one of five sister organizations over the state.
Right.
And sometime in 2024, myself and Admiral Davis and Chuck Cochran all came together and started formulating, putting this together. We knew that there was organizations in Huntsville, Birmingham, and Mobile, SAVIC, which you're greatly familiar with,
yes,
as
sir.
Well as now one in Wiregrass. So we now have five regional organizations in the state, and we intend on having kind of group things, getting together and crunching on different issues. The last time we really did one was around Veterans Day, talking about what we were going to do on Veterans Week.
Right.
But we need to have more conversations about issues that affect us, particularly
yes.
the upcoming elections.
Yes.
So, you know, that's important.
Yes.
But, yeah, different groups are named South Alabama Veterans Council, you know of, in Mobile.
Right.
Birmingham, the Central Alabama Veterans Collaborative. Huntsville, the North Alabama Veterans and Fraternal Organizations Coalition. That's a mouthful. And Wiregrass, and I don't have the right name. Wiregrass is Wiregrass Military Veteran First Responder Coalition.
Oh, my Lord.
And Enterprise. Yeah, that's a mouthful.
Yeah, that's a mouthful there. Well, we're extremely pleased to have you guys get cranked up there, and we're looking forward to seeing all that you do. And, you know, be sure and get with us here on this with SAVIC and Mobile, South Alabama Veterans Council, and our great leaders here, Colonel Barrow and our Secretary, Ms. Fran Barber. And if you have a newsletter or something like that, we would certainly like for you to forward a copy of that to us, too.
Sure.
And we'd like to get it out. And we'll get back together here pretty soon when we got a little bit more time and talk about some of the events that you may have incurred up there. But we've already talked about your event through the Admiral when he's on our show, so he's proud to be part of that. I think he's vice president, right?
He is vice president, and we're glad to have him. You can't keep him.
No. We're just going to borrow him or let you borrow him. Yeah. Well, appreciate you having on board, big guy. Y'all take care, okay?
Well, if you give me another minute, there's one big thing coming up I'd like to point out, and that's our candidate forum that we're having July 27th. It'll be at Fraser Church in Montgomery. And our hope is we're going to send out congratulation letters to all the winners of the primary and invite invitations for them to come to this event. We hope that it's going to be huge, and I think it will be. The word's been going out for the last several weeks already, so I think it's going to be a really big event for us.
Awesome. Looking forward to hear from you. Yes, sir. Take care, Keith. Right, we'll get back with you, buddy.
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate the time tonight.
Yes,
thank
sir.
You.
As always, you can visit scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information. On the other side of the break, Mr. Phil Quigley from Sage Health. When we return on the Scuttlebutt.
Claxton and Cal Walters, radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans. Transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world from Mobile Bay. And if you like to listen on demand, you can also catch us on the FM Talk 106.5 app for your smartphone. Our regularly aired programs will be there, and Tom's tirade is up on castbox.fm. And we are privileged to be joined now on SBN by Mr. Phil Quigley from Sage Health. Phil, welcome back to SBN, and thank you for your service and your continued support for our veterans.
You're welcome. I'm always glad to be on Scuttlebutt Network and with you guys and Tom. And I sure listened. Was that Rivik that you guys were talking
right.
to earlier?
Yeah.
That was let me tell you, awesome. Twofold. We have Sage Health, and then we'll get more into that in Montgomery. Got to know Tom really well, and at SAVIC, and so many other things that we do. And then I'm, with the commission too, the Veterans Commission, and I love it. But you guys do a great job.
Well, thank you for being on with us tonight, Phil. You're a representative of the Sage Health here in the Mobile area, and. I'm not sure that all of our listeners may understand what Sage Health is and how you work.
Well, Tom, I'm glad you asked, because I know that we have a very valuable patient that goes there, your wife.
Right.
And,
right. Totally
satisfied,
and
I know
too.
Thank you. But we're what's called value-based, and what that means is we're a seniors primary care and we're paid through Medicare, not that they're not good practices, because they are, but it's the way it's always been. Fee for service. More patients you have, the more patients you have. That's how they're paid. That's
right.
More money the doctors make. Well, it's not that way. First of all, being fee for service, you can have 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 patients per doctor. Depending on the size, our doctors can only have 400 to 500. And that gives you the time that you deserve. First visit is 90 minutes, 45 of it is testing. We do 7 different type of testing. It's cardio, echo. We do the lab right there.
Right.
And what we do is being paid, and then you get 45, 50 minutes with the doctor. And, not the hand on the door, hey, you
right.
got 7 to 12 minutes to tell me your problems, and, here's the script, let's answer it.
Oh, yes.
But, yeah, it's just get what you needs are.
Well, Phil, they're extremely thorough there in the experience
mm-hmm.
that we've had. And that is,
right.
my wife had been complaining to her mm-hmm. internist for mm-hmm. like 3 years about some of the things that she thought She was had been in the medical field too, but she thought that they might be signs of maybe having diabetes too or no, you know. And and they said, "Oh well, you know, your numbers look okay. We're going to watch it. It just hadn't got serious yet." Well, you know, she said, "I'm just not satisfied with that." When we found out about you guys, and we had a chance to go over and meet with you, and then to meet with the doctors and all, she went ahead and changed her doctors over to that. And you know, and just the first visit that she had when they start after they run their test and all, and you know, doctor said, "Did you realize did you have the stage 2 diabetes?" She says, "In my mind, I knew it, but the doctor never told me." You know,
and that, and you hit a good point there, Tom, because that's what reason we're paid through Medicare, because they want us to, you know, lack of a better way of saying it, we want to find things before they happen or find out what's going on. And that's what we do. That's what we do with our type of system.
Phil, what I like about it is and I've talked about it on numerous occasions, it's preventative medicine.
Yes.
You know, let's find out what's going wrong and let's treat it before it gets serious. And the other events that we're seeing, and like a knock in the box, and I go to them myself now, but and I don't knock all that, but
not at all.
The really way we should treat our body is we should keep aware of anything that might be happening to our bodies and get into the preventative mode rather than getting in an after action mode like we do after we have an event and service, you know?
You know, I couldn't have said any better, preventative, and that's what we want to do there. And you know, another thing too, Tommy, you know this, because of the fee-for-service, you're sitting in the waiting room, waiting area for, you know, it could be 45, 30, 45, 50 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, that don't work over there.
Five, you know, you're in the back, you're there. You sign in, you're there. I mean, not long, then the medical assistant is coming in to get you, bring you to the back. And what's so awesome, too, is the follow-up visits, the time you get there. And,
right.
And you hit something. You talked about the doc in the box. And there's nothing wrong with that. But here's the thing, too. The thing is, you get sick at Sage, and you're a patient. Once you made that first visit, you get sick. You don't have to wait till your next appointment. You come in that then, right then, and we're going to get you in.
And that's, you know, where we're seeing going to our normal doctor's offices and all, our regular GPs, you know, we got to call and get an appointment.
That's right.
You know,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, where the wife has had occasions that, you know, she wouldn't be feeling good or something, and I said, "Well, let's get dressed and let's go to Sage."
Yep. And you know, some other things too are that's pretty awesome too. Weekends,
right?
You call in, you get the doctor. The doctor is going to, you know, see what's going on, talk to you on the phone. We also give rides where, you know, for the ones that are on Medicare that have, obviously they have to be to come here.
Right.
But most of them have an Advantage plan. And we don't want you to take away from the ones that give rides to your other physicians. And, you know, a lot of the seniors are going to have other specialists.
Well, some of them, you got a book and get it'd be 3 days before you get a ride or a week.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's true. And we also do home visits.
Holy cow.
And,
you know regular GPs don't do that anymore.
No. Not at all. And, you know, you have, you think about it, there's some seniors out there that are handicapped, disabled, can't get in at all, bedridden.
Totally.
So we do home visits.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been in an occasion, about, you know, back with my first wife when she was sick, where it was required, you know.
Right.
And there, they used to come to the house because she had MS and she was bedridden. And then when the Obamacare came in, then they outlawed all that, and the doctor couldn't come.
Right.
You know?
That's it.
So
that's it. And they're all important. All these things that we're talking about are so important that for a patient, especially for a senior. And you know what? Something it's pretty cool, too, and I know you have Keisha on a lot. Keisha Chambers, the broker I'll work with. What she pointed out, you come into, you know, you got to be prepared as a senior primary care. You come into one of the exam rooms. And remember the old table? They you know, they'd say, "Okay, hop on the table with Tom." You know, at Ari, I'm not hopping anymore.
I don't hop well anymore.
So we have those nice huge chairs that are hydraulic, to where they're raised. You can sit, and you know, the doctor, however they need to position you, they can lay it back.
Well, a lot of us guys can't even stand around that long waiting for you to get in there to start with.
That's it.
You know, come on. Hey, let's face it, baby. You cracked them big 7-0s and 8-0s. I mean, you don't want to have that stamina anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. Hey, and Tom, I want to mention something really quick because, you know, you and I get to do a lot together. We just had a very successful, this is a little bit away from Sage, but they were one of the sponsors. But you and I have done a lot of veterans events together.
Oh,
we
yeah.
just had a very successful 107th birthday celebration
American
for
Legion,
the
yes.
American Legion. Now we're working on one coming up in August is Purple Heart.
Woo!
Month,
oh,
and
yes.
we're working on having a big event for Purple Heart recipients.
I wear a Purple Heart band on my wrist every day of my life.
You and I both, brother.
Yes.
You and I both, and we're working on that to have it in Daphne. And oh my gosh, we're getting the youth involved. We're going to have the JRTC from Daphne High School is going to do the color guard. We're going to have the things you did over there, the flag folding, and I mean it's just amazing. And we're going to honor these recipients, and we want all veterans to come and to celebrate these Purple Heart recipients. And
well, sure,
it's going to be amazing.
The other event,
we'll
we've
put
got
more word out on it.
Yeah, the other event we got around the corner is Armed Forces Day.
Yes, Armed Forces Day.
MRE cook-off.
Yeah, we that's right. Oh yeah, the MRE cook-off. I mean I think Colonel Carey won it last year, didn't he, Steve?
I believe he did, yes.
His team? Yeah.
Yeah, you know how those Air Force people are. That's all they do.
I know.
Army, you know, the Air Force is just another fraternal organization.
We're the ground pounders, baby. We actually ate the MREs, you and I.
Yeah, they were made for us, not, you know, the Air Force.
That's
I don't
right.
see how they even cooked them because they had never seen them before. You know, they would have
true.
To push their steaks and taters and stuff out to the side, you know, and fresh
right.
sweet milk and all, you know.
No, that's great. That's great. But I sure do enjoy doing these things with you. And you know, we get a lot of our market partners involved that we deal with. And they because they really care about the veterans and they help us sponsor. And,
right.
And we appreciate all of them. But I always appreciate you coming on here and talking about Sage Health because we have a lot of veterans, Tom.
Well,
we come to Sage Health.
And so many of them are in need. I've had three or four on the mm-hmm. phone this week that I've been
right.
trying to walk through some problems and all, you know, and it's
yep.
just,
yep.
it's really unbelievable. Appreciate you being
well,
on board.
I just signed a veteran up today.
Yep. All right. Take care, buddy. We got to go. Hard.
Okay. I appreciate it, brother.
All right. Brother Phil Quigley there, Vice President of the Vets Commission there in Mobile and Sage Health. And on the other side, Miss Keisha Chambers, a Medicaid lady.
And Cal Walters, radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back, and thank you for joining us today on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. Along with Tom Claxton, I'm Cal Walters, and we're glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today.
And we certainly want to thank the folks that helped make this show possible. The battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Alabama Pipe and Supply, our sea lawyer Colin Kimberly, and all the fine folks at the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Miss Keisha Chambers, that she'll be on air with us here shortly, the Medicare lady, and Daphne's Hottest Eatery, the Waterfront Restaurant. They're at number one Yacht Club Drive over in Daphne. And the Charlie Wilson Agency, as well as Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens.
And hey, happy tax day
to
everyone, or at least the top 50% who actually pay taxes. That's always interesting about folks. I was listening to somebody say, you know, these folks that get these big tax refunds.
It's funny, they don't pay taxes either.
But all you've done is you've given the government basically an interest-free loan of your money.
Right.
They don't pay. They don't put any interest on that when they send it back to you. Funny how that happens.
Yeah.
But everybody's, I'm going to get this big tax refund and go buy this or that or the other, instead of saying, how can I not have a big tax refund? Just don't owe anything.
Right.
Yeah. But for those of you patriots who enjoy paying taxes, this is your day. It is always a pleasure to be joined on SBN by the Medicare lady, Ms. Keisha Chambers. Ms. Keisha, welcome back to SBN, and thank you for your service to our veterans.
Thank you. Good evening. How are y'all today?
We're doing fine, little lady. Had a chance to talk to you there the other day and talked about some of the things that's going on with our Medicare insurance that we have out here. And one of the things that has really flabbergasted me, and because, we're just so touchy boys, and we figure, well, we're gonna get insurance now. So the insurance company is going to do this, and the insurance company is going to do that. And then we start getting declines from a doctor about the test that they want to give us that they can't give us. And then we call our insurance company and you say, I'm sorry, it wasn't us. It was Medicare that told us we couldn't do it. I'm going like, wait a minute. I thought I was buying insurance, I didn't know I was getting it from the government. And we don't. We buy insurance from a group, but yet that group is totally covered or governed by Medicare as to what they can do and what they can't do.
Well, those plans do have to follow the Medicare guidelines. And it is the Medicare benefits that come through those Advantage plans. But, sometimes Medicare is very complicated. There's a lot to it. And sometimes I get calls all the time from people telling me that the doctor sent in requesting an authorization for a procedure or a service.
Right.
And that it was declined. And then when we start investigating and look, half the time, there never was an authorization turned in, or the authorization that was turned in oftentimes was not, they weren't providing adequate information for the company to make a decision. And so that's one thing that, with my members, I always encourage them to call me and let me help them through that process.
Right.
Sometimes, there's different things you can do. Like if it's an urgent situation, you can escalate those things. But insurance is insurance. You have to work with the rules and the ways that it works. Mm-hmm. But having someone on your team, on your side, that can help you with that goes a long way. Because it's, even just getting on an 800 number, you're going to be in for it.
Well, you're not going to talk to a person to start with anymore. And and then you try to work things out on a computer, and sometimes it does help. But then there's occasions where you can say, look, I need some experienced help here. Well, what's your familiarity with this? And when they have someone like yourself being an insurance broker, and you represent more than one insurance company, but yet you're representing them for the insurance plan that you sold them, then you take the time to help them walk through that problem and get it solved.
Absolutely. And I think that it's very important these days for people, I've run into a lot of people here lately that are aging into Medicare, and they don't have a clue how to start. They don't know if they need to apply for their Medicare. They don't know if, once they get their card for Medicare, what do they need to do after that? They miss deadlines to enroll in things. It's so important to get with a good agent that's knowledgeable and that's willing to take the time to work with you. And, I've helped so many people here, even in the last couple of months, that they just really need some guidance and some direction. And then when they get into it, Medicare works a little different than your, you know, group insurance.
Sure it does.
You have with your employer.
Yeah, it's not
and
that
so
it's not that Blue Cross that you pay $1,600 a month for, you know?
Yeah. You need someone to hold your hand. And one of the things that I do, too, as a broker is when the plans come out for the following year, I set up a spreadsheet, and I put every benefit in these spreadsheets, and I study them and compare. And then when I sit down with someone and do a needs analysis and I find out, you know, what their needs are, you know, what they're actually looking for and hoping to get out of their insurance, and then I can narrow it down. And one of the main benefits of these plans that a lot of people love and really didn't even know about, you know, before they met with me, was that there are plans that can help pay for that Medicare.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Medicare for the average person, you know, around $202. There's plans out there that will pay as much as $185 in their, you know, it gives them a credit in their Social Security account to help pay for that Part B.
Right.
And I had a gentleman the other day that I was sitting with, and he goes, look, I can't afford an extra $200 coming out of my check. And, you know, I was able to show him how we could enroll him in a plan that did not have a monthly premium.
Right.
It paid $185 or so of that Part B premium.
Right.
Brought his payment for his insurance down to about $17.
Right.
$0.90.
Well, Keisha, so many of our people don't even realize that money that they're paying for that Advantage policy. And it comes out of the amount of Social Security that the government sends them every month. That money is deducted and sent to the Medicare before it ever gets to them.
Right. Well, they're not paying for the Advantage plan. What they're paying for is their Medicare Part B.
Okay. Well, see there, I had
right?
a wrong idea about that.
Well, you were going there. You just said the Advantage
okay.
plan. I know you know how it works because you have it. And that Part B, that charge, when you first sign up for Medicare, that charge starts coming out if you're drawing. If not, you get a bill for it in the mail.
Right.
But if you're drawing, that payment comes directly out of your check. And a lot of people forget that they're even paying that for after a few years.
Right. And they do.
And
yeah.
Yeah, and I've talked to so many people. I'm like, you know, you're paying, you know, probably around $202. Wouldn't you like to get some of that money back?
Well, you know, and they don't stop to realize if you look at that over a 12-month period, that's about $2,400.
Yeah,
that's a big lick. That's a big big raise for somebody that's on Social Security.
Well, for someone who's on a fixed income, having the extra $185 every month,
sure,
or you know that means a lot.
That help might pay bills or buy groceries.
Well, it might be the difference between having power to turn your lights on.
Amen.
It might mean you don't have to eat a bologna sandwich tonight.
I hear you. Well, how can they get in touch with you if they have some questions about the Medicare or if they're interested in changing when we have these special periods? And we'll get back on here pretty soon. We'll go through the special periods that you can utilize to change your insurance policies.
Okay. Well, my phone number is 251-401-3923. I'm going to say it again.
Go ahead.
251-401-3923. They can text me. They can call me. They can find me. You know, they can email me at Keisha, KECIA, the Medicare lady, at gmail.com.
Amen. Appreciate you being on board with us tonight.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Thank you, Keisha. Take care.
All right.
And on the other side of the break, my tirade on Silent Night when we return.
Lunar sunrise, and for all the people Back on Earth, the crew of Apollo 8 has a message that we would like to send to you. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness.
And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day.
God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called these seas. And God saw that it was good. And from the crew of Apollo 8, we close with good night, good luck, a Merry Christmas, and God bless all of you. All of you on the good earth.
The year was 1968. The Cold War was raging and the summer of love was waning. Social unrest in the United States and uncertainty in global politics were at the forefront of many in the nation and around the world. It was silent Christmas Eve for three of our nation's veterans crammed into quarters that would make a manger look majestic. Frank Borman, Jim Lovell, and William Anders, the crew of Apollo 8, were hurling across the stark black and white terrain of the cold and foreboding lunar surface. For you low-informed snowflakes out there, that would mean the moon. As they careened across the void of space, an audience of over a billion people were listening intently back home on Earth in what was probably the most profound Christmas prayer ever given by any member of the human race. These astronauts read the first 12 lines of the Bible to a world united and captivated as they orbited the moon, simultaneously streaming the first live television pictures of the lunar surface to what could be categorized as the single largest audience of humankind to date. To put it in perspective, Facebook, the social media giant and flagger of all things conservative, today boasts of about 3 billion subscribers. So to say that the broadcast was must-see is an understatement. The flight of Apollo 8 was largely forgotten in ensuing decades, and its importance was lost in the wake of the triumphant landing of Apollo 11 and the miraculous return of Apollo 13. Even though it was the first time that human beings had journeyed beyond Earth orbit and traveled to another world. Yet, in many ways, the flight has had a greater influence on human history. Of course, it was the first time that human beings had escaped Earth's gravity, but it was also unique in the way that the astronauts used their bully pulpit to advocate for the American vision of moral individuality, religious tolerance, and mutual respect, all upon the backdrop of our first glimpse of our shared home, the precious blue planet that we call Earth. Despite being overshadowed by subsequent missions, many who participated in and chronicled the space program consistently referred to Apollo 8 as the most important. There is the obvious reason that it was the first to reach another world, but it was also significant in other ways. For the first time, the power of television and the media was demonstrated more clearly than ever before, a fact not lost on those of us suffering from the scourge of the modern-day media. Decades before cable news, social media, and live streaming, the television camera aboard Apollo 8 put nearly every person on Earth in this spacecraft orbiting the moon. History was no longer something to be viewed in retrospect. It was now live and would be seen as it happened. Moreover, Apollo 8 did not happen in a vacuum. Well, technically it did. But figuratively, the mission was part of a much broader spectrum of events that were occurring throughout the world at the time. In the midst of the Cold War,
and no, snowflakes, that doesn't mean it was fought in the winter.
Apollo 8 laid out the differences between the collectivist vision of Soviet society and the rugged, individualistic, freely religious American system.
Soviet cosmonaut Yuri Gagarin proclaimed that he saw no God in space. Conversely, the crew of Apollo 8 saw him everywhere, and they were free to proclaim it. I only wonder if the cynical desire of the now defunct Soviet Union to deny the spiritual magnificence of the universe may have contributed to its downfall. Monumentally, the decision to read from the Bible was not a dictate from the government which was funding the mission, but one that the astronauts under Borman's leadership made entirely on their own. Not only was their speech not mandated as it would be under a communist government, it was not censored by a state-run press or a progressive technocrat media.
One can only imagine how that would be done by the proposed free press and social media outlets in the USA today.
None of the astronauts were canceled upon their return. None were blacklisted as progressive wish for today. None were sent to re-education camps, and none had Antifa thugs marching outside their homes. In fact, they returned home as the heroes that they were, having advanced the space program of the United States in the path set forth by a Democratic president, John Kennedy. Furthermore, the flight demonstrated what has become something of anathema in today's world, that competition actually spurs achievement and advances the cause of humanity as a whole.
Not only for individuals, but also for civilized nations.
That winning is good and that participation trophies are just pacifiers for grown-up losers. Today's educated generation has suffered from a lack of information about the actual history of this great nation and its rightful place as a shining beacon of freedom for the world, and how the U.S. space program, which was effectively abolished under the administration of the communist organizer Obama, set the pace in the eventual downfall of the Soviet Union. Apollo 8 was a remarkable, daring mission, the first to use the awesome and largely untested Saturn rocket to propel humans outside of Earth orbit. It was given a green light because NASA wanted to beat. That's right. Beat the USSR in a race to the moon, having heard that the communists planned to fly two men around the moon by the end of 1968. The week-long journey to the moon also marked a crucial moment in both America and world history. In America, Apollo 8 marked a positive moment in what had been a year marred by violence and destruction. The assassinations of Robert Kennedy and Martin Luther King, along with rioting, looting, social unrest, and racial tensions, were in many ways, quote, canceled by the flight and started the end of the culture revolution of the 60s. On a larger scale, the mission illustrated just how valuable and fragile our planet is to the human race. Prior to Apollo 8, no human had ever seen the Earth from out there. Suddenly, we could see just how priceless, fragile, and unique Earth is to the human race, and we were brought together in awe of what Almighty God, not the authoritarian state, had created. As we enter the Christmas season, let us remember that there are still heroes in this world, those who are not afraid to risk their lives for something greater than themselves, that with faith, anything is possible, and that there are only two people that have given their lives so that you can live, the men and women of the U.S. Armed Forces and Jesus Christ. For the Scuttlebutt Network, this is Tom Claxton. Merry Christmas to you and yours.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans. You're on board with Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, a couple of Marines with just a little bit to say, the First Amendment right to say it, and the fighting spirit to keep it. And, you know, Tom, obviously, you know, we pulled that one. That's one that we did a few years ago. And it, obviously that was set up in the Christmas season. Because that's when those events originally occurred. But I pulled it because of the recent moonshot, I guess you could say, of Artemis II and the successful trip that they took, and how so many of their comments coming back were very similar in nature to the crew of Apollo 8 in terms of, you know, how we exist as a planet. Our commonalities versus, you know, the things that divide us, and, you know, the fact that there's something bigger than us out there, and something that so many of the people from this Our Space program, when they come back, they come back dramatically changed, and they're deeply affected by that trip on a, I guess what you would say, a spiritual level.
It would have to be, Cal. I mean, if there is, if you could say it as such, then they were closer to you know, to heaven than the rest of us have been. Because if it's up, you know, and I pray that mine goes up, not down.
Oh, yes, yes. And, you know, and another thing, you know, I read as much as I can about the confluence of science and religion. And it seems as though those are two things that don't have to stand in conflict with each other, because
right.
It seems like we learn more and more that as science advances, we learn more that they don't have, they, you know, that, as I said, that they're not different from each other. Science is actually proving much of the religious faith
right.
that's there. But just thought it was interesting how, you know, here we are, you know, with a flight that was in the 1960s, and here we are almost 60 years later, and we're just getting back kind of to where right. we were before. But the comments were all very similar with that with the crew that came back. And you know, an interesting thing for me is, and with those original astronauts, all of them were in test pilots. They had all been in the military,
right,
in some form or fashion. And yet, you know, the astronauts of today are very specialized and come yes. from a lot of diverse backgrounds,
right? In the scientific fields.
Oh yes, yes. You know, there's so much to be learned, and of course, you know, everybody will say, well, you know, we got the microwave and Tang and all that from the Apollo missions, but I think there's so much more that we will glean
sure.
From these ongoing missions at this point. And I don't know if Ms. Keisha is still listening, but I want to know what's wrong with a good fried bologna sandwich.
I don't know that anything, because I love them.
Anyway, a lot of good information on the show tonight, and we want to thank all of you for joining us. Hopefully you'll join us again soon. Until then, please keep our warriors in your prayers, especially those in harm's way. God be with them and their families. God bless America. Remember, hero is not a four-letter word. We'll catch you on the other side.
Hoorah!